Hallelujah. Let's just open our hearts and worship God for a second here. Hallelujah. From your own heart. It's always good to worship with the band and worship as they lead us, but it's also good just from your heart to worship God for what you're thankful for, what He's done for you, for how He's helped you and how He's blessed you and how He's healed you and how He's redeemed you, and just to worship Him from your heart and the things that you're thankful for in your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, for Your mercy, for Your love, for Your faithfulness, for Your compassion. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God forevermore. Father, we thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We're so thankful that You saved us and redeemed us, that You've healed us, that You've given us Your precious Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Thank You, Father, that when we were sinners, that Christ died for us. When we were enemies, that You came and became our friend and redeemed us with the blood of Jesus. Thank You for the blood of Jesus. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercies, for Your healing mercies, for Your redeeming mercies. Thank You, Lord, that You're merciful, that You're faithful, that You're just, that You're good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of y'all have seen me before? I've been here probably 4 or 5 times now to this church. So most of you. Praise God. Well, we moved to China in 2007 with a 7-month-old baby. And we'll talk a little bit more about what God's done in those. It'll be 11 years this July 4th. And it seems like time flies. It's funny because I went in the Navy in 97. So if I'd have stayed in, I'd have retired just about now. That's crazy. But when did you go in? What year?
96.
Wow. So yeah. But thank you for your service, first of all. God's faithful, and He leads us, and we do things for Him as we are led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so I say it like this. As sons and daughters of God, we should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. And so, you know, He leads us in, He wants to lead us in every area of our life. He wants to lead us in the way we use our finances. He wants to lead us with our families. He wants to lead us in how we, on our jobs, for our careers, for our businesses, for our ministry, as God leads us to reach out and lead people to Christ. He leads us. I mean, there's been times when I was driving down the road, one time when I was in 17, and the Lord told me to take a different road, and, you know, I probably wouldn't be here today if I hadn't have listened. And I won't, you know, have time to share all that, but He's good. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. And so it's all, the biggest thing is just trying to listen, get quiet, and hear His voice. And then when He speaks, to be obedient. And sometimes it's just those little things, in the little things that we're obedient in, and then it's easy. You know, how many knows if you're obedient in little things, and you have a record of being obedient in little things, and seeing Him work in the little things, it's a whole lot easier to be obedient in bigger things. You know, and there's always, you know, there's always big things. You know, you don't get out of this life without having to deal with some things. Is it just me? Am I the only one that you'd have to deal with things? Or is everybody else's life is just perfect and rosy and you never have to deal with anything? So, but the Holy Spirit leads us. I want to read first out of the book of Daniel, chapter 11 and verse 32. Daniel 11 and verse 32. And it says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, He shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." And I want to focus on the second half of this verse. It says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And so it's not, it doesn't say the people who have a doctorate or a PhD. Although those things are great and those are tools that God uses. I mean, there's, you know, as you walk through life, I used to work when I was going to Bible school in Oklahoma. I used to work at the Tulsa County Juvenile Detention Center with kids that had been locked up in juvenile detention by the court. The judge had placed them in juvenile detention, and we would do life skills classes and teach them life skills, and we would do, you know, anger management classes, and we were always talking to the kids and trying to figure out what was going on in their life and try to help them. And the goal was to give them tools to deal with life, because most of their parents, the reason they were in there is their parents hadn't given them any tools. Most of them came from homes that were bad, but we always used to say over and over again, you know, this may not look like it's something you can use right now, but just put it in your toolbox. And then as you go through life, you might find that you'll need that tool, or God will use that tool. So no matter where you're at in life at this point or what you've been through, God will use some of those things that those things you've gone through, or the places you've lived, or the jobs you've had, to bring glory to His name. It's funny because I was born in a 35-foot travel trailer in a little tiny place called Secret Valley, California, just outside of Susanville, California. Anybody heard of Secret Valley, California? That's because it's a secret. And nobody wants to know. There's nothing there. And there's even less there than when I was there. But I didn't have running water or electricity or a flush toilet or a telephone or anything. So I grew up, you know, and my dad always had these old pickup trucks, and I grew up working on the cars with my dad and fixing the generator when my dad was gone because it wouldn't start, and if the generator didn't start, then I couldn't watch my cartoons on Saturday morning, and so I had to get the generator running. It would get water in the gas or the carburetor, you know, the float would stick on the carburetor, and so I learned how to fix things as a kid, you know, working on my little tote goats or little motorcycles or things like that. And then the Lord uses those things. You know, this church purchased, and then when we show the video later on, I have a picture of it, but this church helped us. This year we purchased four little ATV, four-wheel drive quads for pastors. They're kind of evangelist pastors. They pastor churches, but they're also evangelists. They go up in the mountains of China and take the gospel where they've never heard the gospel, never heard the name of Jesus. So we bought those, and this church paid for one of those. And we want to thank you all for giving towards that. And people are getting saved, and people are getting healed, and people are getting ministered to as that pastor travels and rides the ATV that you all bought. And it's continuing to produce fruit for the kingdom. But we were able to purchase four of those this year. And I got them for about $1,000 less than they would normally be, because I bought them from the factory, and they sent it to me, and I put it together. And so God uses these things. And after I got out of the Navy, I did aviation electronics in the Navy. And then after I got graduated from Bible school, I worked at a go-kart track in Williamsburg. And I spent time working every day fixing go-karts, taking go-karts and taking them apart and putting them back together and fixing everything on them. And so, but God gives us talents and abilities, and He uses those things that He gives us for His glory. But here in Daniel it says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. As it doesn't say, like I said, it doesn't say those that have a doctorate or those that have, it doesn't say, maybe it says, maybe I read it wrong, maybe it says the people who have a lot of money shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, money is a tool. It's one of them tools that, you know, we all want our toolbox full of money. I mean, if you don't, and, you know, you feel free to give it to you, myself or somebody else that's preaching the gospel, and we'll put it to good use, if you've got. But everybody wants money in your toolbox. I mean, that's one of the things that's nice to. But it doesn't say that the people who have money or have a lot of money will be strong and carry out great exploits. It doesn't say the people who have a PhD or a doctorate or will be strong and carry out great exploits. It says those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And so I like to say it like this. Maybe you're just coming out of an exploit. You know, you just finished up an exploit, or maybe you're going into the next exploit. You're entering in, or you're in the middle of an exploit. Or maybe you're heading into the next exploit. And really, the way God works is, it really should kind of be some of all of that. You should be coming out of an exploit, in the middle of an exploit, and heading into the next exploit. But the Bible says, those that know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits. And so, you know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there's people, you'd be like my family, kind of, you know, that my family I came from, that we could say we come from a long line of people who don't carry out exploits for God. You know, there's probably somebody else in here who could say, yeah, that's my family. You know, we don't, you know, maybe you would say, you know, if you were to look through the sights of your scope, you know, and you'd be like looking at the crosshairs and you're like, you know, I don't see an exploit anywhere, not even over the horizon. You know, it's like you don't have it in your plans. You're not preparing or planning for an exploit. And so your job then, I would say, is, according to this verse, is just to get to know your God. So it should be that we should be producing exploits for God. And if we're not producing exploits for God as Christians, as people, now we're not saved because we do works or because we do exploits. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it doesn't, whether you're doing exploits for God or not, it's not what washes our sins away. It's not what saves us. But if you look through the Bible, you find that this scripture is really true, that the people that knew God, both in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, were doing exploits for God. You know, you look at Abraham and Joseph, Paul, all these people, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, these people that knew God and were walking with God, even in the Old, I mean, look at some of the things people in the Old Covenant, they didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them like we do. And they were doing exploits. So what I would say is, I can't even imagine an exploit right now, what I'm dealing with, then your job is just to get to know God. I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm saying you need to get to know from the Word of God, and by spending time reading the Word and worshiping God, and there should be some exploits coming out of every one of your lives. And if there's not, then, because it says those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So then, you know, just according to this verse, if we take it the other way, you could almost say, and I won't, you know, that those that aren't doing exploits don't know their God. Now, I don't know, you know, I'm not going to say that. But you could almost take it, and if you read it the other way, if it says those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits, you could say those that aren't strong and aren't doing exploits don't know their God. We don't read the scripture backwards like that. You can decide if you like that the way it sounds or not. But if you want to do exploits, you got to get to know your God. What we do in this life, that things that are eternal, things that matter, things that are life changing, that actually lasts for eternity, are the things that we do out of our relationship with Christ, out of the born-again new nature that's on the inside of us when the Bible said we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have been made new. And so, he leads us by his Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for leading us, for guiding us, for showing us things to come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just read that there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And so, like I said before, if we're sons of God, sons or daughters of God, we should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. And he's going to lead us and guide us. And just share a testimony. We've started rescuing about almost 3 years ago now, I guess. We started rescuing girls from human trafficking. And the way it started, it's interesting how it started, because it started out with a really interesting story and testimony of just how the Holy Spirit leads us. Just real simple things. So we'd moved over to China in 2007, and in 2008 we opened a restaurant, and it was an outreach to a 16,000 student university. So we opened up this little tiny restaurant next to a university, and the Chinese university students would come over to our restaurant to try the Western food, like tacos and pizza and hamburgers and steak, and we had handspun milkshakes, you know. And so if you didn't have dinner yet, you're probably like, could you just be quiet, please? Just preach the word, okay? Could you just... And through that, we led a bunch of people to the Lord, both students from the university and also people who were our employees. But we were looking for a waiter or a waitress, and we put these flyers up at the university looking for somebody to come and apply. And this one girl came, this high university student came, and she filled out the application, and I said, come back on Saturday, and I want to do an interview. I said, be here Saturday at 9 a.m., and I'll do an interview. And so Saturday came, and 8:30 came, and she wasn't there early, and 9 o'clock came, and she wasn't there on time, and 10 o'clock came, and she wasn't there late, and 11 o'clock came, and 12 o'clock, she came in like noon, around 12 o'clock. You know, so if you're a business owner, or you're in like... Human resources. Seems like that word always tries to evade me. But if you're in human resources and you're hiring people, or you're a manager and you're hiring people, and you know that if somebody comes 3 hours late for an interview and didn't call, that you're just not going to hire them. I mean, unless God speaks to you. And so there was two glass doors at the back of the restaurant, and I saw her walk up, and I was sitting in the restaurant working on some paperwork or something, and I saw her walk up, and I thought, I just figured, you know, that she had just found a better job, or she just didn't want to work for us, and she just wasn't going to show up. So when she came in 3 hours late, I was really surprised, you know. So real practical advice, you know, if you're looking for a job and you want to get hired, just, you know, let's give practical advice. You know, you're going to be looking for a job coming up here. Don't show up 3 hours late for work. And but she showed up 3 hours late, and in the natural, I'm thinking, well, if she's going to walk in, I'm going to just say thanks but no thanks. You know, you're late. We're not really interested. We're not hiring. We found somebody else. You know, whatever. Have a nice day. But as she was walking in, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, well, go ahead and interview her. And so I went ahead and interviewed her, and she didn't have any experience, she didn't have any qualifications. She was a university student, just like all the other university students that we had, that had applied and interviewed and showed up on time. You know, so, you know, they say three strikes and you're out, you know. Well, when you come in at 10 o'clock, that's one strike. When you come in at 11 o'clock, that's two strikes. And when you come in at 12 o'clock, that's three strikes. You know, I mean, but in the natural, it was like, you know, she didn't have a lot of experience. She was late 3 hours. But the Holy Spirit said, just go ahead and hire her. And so I hired her, and then she invited her best friend to come and interview, and she came on time. So we're progressing here, you know. And we hired her, and the two of them got trained, and they did a good job for us, and they both got saved and both got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they went through our discipleship program, and then they both went through our Bible schools, and then we turned the restaurant over to Chinese people to run it completely. And later on, they came to us, and they said, the Lord has put on our heart the desire to rescue girls from human trafficking. And so, you know, it was like... Well, we don't really, that was nothing that I had on my heart. It wasn't anything that the Lord had been speaking to me. But, you know, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, we want to rescue people from slavery, especially that kind of slavery, You know, you don't have to pray a whole lot about it. Unless the Lord just says no, I mean, that's a good thing to get involved with. I mean, that's what God does, is he rescues and delivers people from bondage. Amen. Jesus came. What does the Bible say that in Isaiah? He says he came to set the captives free. And so we were like, well, we had peace about it. I said, well, we'll get you some different literature and training information. And we got it translated into Chinese. And they started going to these brothels and taking gifts to the brothel owners and to the girls that were being used. And they went to one of the guys one day and they said, do you want to meet an American that can speak Chinese? Referring to me. And so I spent 6 years studying Chinese, 3 years at a college and 3 years at a university. And so they said, do you want to meet an American that can speak Chinese? And he said, well, I've never met an American, much less one that can speak Chinese. He said, that'd be kind of neat. And so I went to, he also has these tea, he grows tea, his tea trees up in the mountains of China. And then he has a tea processing plant. And then he sells tea as a tea market there. And so I went to his tea shop and he made tea for me and I drank tea and we talked, and he told me about his family, and I told him about mine, and then I shared the gospel with him. And the Apostle Paul said, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And so there's this power in the gospel that will set people free if we can just be bold enough to open our mouths and share it. And the same gospel that sets a brothel owner free and sets, so he got saved and he repented of his sins. He didn't just pray a prayer, but he repented and he shut the brothel down and he set a bunch of girls free, and now he's helping us rescue other girls. Praise God. And so the same guy that was using these girls and selling these girls is now helping us to rescue these girls and help to rehabilitate these girls. Pray. And that's how God does. He restores and he redeems. You know, it's funny. The Psalms 103, it says, he redeems our lives from destruction. And there's a lot of ways that he can redeem our lives from destruction. But that man's life was in destruction. And he was destroying other people's lives. But God redeemed him and bought him out of that by the precious blood of Jesus and redeemed his life and redeemed those girls' lives from destruction. And now he's helping us rescue other girls. But it was just a simple, it started with obedience to a simple instruction and a very awkward, not awkward, but a very just, it was really unnatural to hire somebody that came 3 hours late. But it wasn't a big thing. It wasn't a hard thing. I mean, if I hire her because the Holy Spirit tells me to, and she starts showing up late every day to work, I can fire her just as easy as I hired her. So it wasn't like it was a lot of pressure. But it was just obedience in a small thing. And just taking a step of obedience to doing what the Lord had said. And now he came to us later on, and he said, I've got about $48,000 in a bank account that I have that was left over from running this brothel. And he said, the Lord spoke into my heart to give it to you all to help you purchase a permanent rescue and rehab facility to take care of these girls. And so he's doing a matching project now. When somebody gives money and designates towards this house, he's matching dollar for dollar up to $48,000, up to, which is 96, I believe, 96,000. Was never my thing. So 48 and 48 is not 96. That don't come to me for math lessons. But he's helping us to raise money to be able to buy a permanent facility, because the girls we have now, we've rescued 19 girls, and they're in a little condo, kind of a two-story condo, and it's they're in bunks, and a bunch of the girls in a room, and we have those two girls that we led to the Lord at that restaurant are now running this home and living with the girls and teaching the girls the Word of God and ministering to the girls and praying for the girls and seeing these girls restored and redeemed. Praise God. But it just started out with, first it started out with the Lord leading us to go to China and go, and like I said, we left with $35 of monthly support. So it wasn't like it was, you know, We always ask people, if anybody wants to go to China with $35 of promised monthly support and a seven-month-old baby, and nobody wants to go to China with $35 of promised monthly support and a seven-month-old baby. And then I said, well, we'll just take the seven-month-old baby out. We'll make it easy on you. we'll give you. And if anybody raised their hand, I say, I will sponsor you for the next 10 years, $35 a month. I'll be your first sponsor. But God is faithful. But it's that step of faith, and you look at people like Abraham. Remember that God told him, I'm sending you to a place where I'll show you. He didn't know where he was even going. But he said, go and I'll lead you. And so God wants to use us, and he wants to use us in exploits. So I would say that, you know, if you're here this evening and you don't have an exploit, if you're not coming out of an exploit, you know, just finish one up. Or if you're not going into the next exploit, or you're not in the middle of an exploit, then come to God and say, God, use me for your glory. I want to do something. You know, it says you'll do exploits. And one of your exploits is going to be being part of this local church, being part of Good News Augusta, and giving and serving and praying for the pastoral staff and praying for your brothers and sisters that go to this church. And a strong, healthy church in this community is part of one of the exploits that God has. God has given the local church to be influential in the community through their actions and good deeds and their prayers. It's part of what holds this community together. And so God wants to use you in this church as an exploit. And then as this church gives into our ministry, you have part of an exploit in China. And we have 11 small Bible schools in China. We have one in Laos. We have one in Myanmar. We're getting ready to open another one in China. In fact, right before I came back to the States this last time, I was helping and teaching some of my Bible school students how to run electrical wiring and do plumbing, getting the Bible school ready for the next Bible school. And so I teach a lot of the Bible school students trades, and we do micro-animal loans where we'll loan them animals, and then as the animals reproduce, they're able to repay the loans and raise their standard of living and take care of their family and have resources to preach the gospel. And then I've taught some of our students or some of the people in the churches how to lay block, like lay cinder block and build block buildings, or we build showers in leper villages so the lepers can take showers. And I've taught them how to do plumbing and electrical. But all these little natural things that the Lord uses, the tools that are in my toolbox, in the area I'm at, just to reach the people around me, to show them the goodness of God and to preach the gospel. And so, if God will do that, if the gospel is strong enough to reach a man who's running a brothel, and that's his livelihood, and that's the money he's making, he had to go home to his wife and explain, you know, we're shutting this business down, and the money that's been coming in from this business is no longer going to be coming in from this business, because this crazy American came over here and told me about this guy named Jesus, and he doesn't approve of what we're doing here, and he knew it was wrong. I mean, you don't do that kind of thing and not know that it's... I mean, you don't sell little girls and not know that it's wrong. But there's enough power in the gospel to set people free. The Bible says that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. And so the grace of God came on him and showed and taught him and gave him the power to deny ungodliness and shut the brothel down. But that gospel is the same gospel that's strong enough to set a brothel owner free in China, is strong enough to set your neighbor free, your coworker, your employer, your employee, your fellow classmate. But we've got to open up our mouths and share the gospel. There's a saying, you know, that you always hear. That pops up on Facebook, or you see it on church signs sometimes, and it's got a good principle behind it. But it says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Anybody ever heard that? And that's a good, the idea behind it is, what they're trying to say is, live a life that glorifies God and live a life that leads people to Christ, that they can see the life you're living and they want to have what you got. But I like to say it like this: preach the gospel at all times, and it's always necessary to use words. Now when I say that, there's going to be times when just the first time you meet somebody, you're not necessarily going to open your mouth and share the gospel with him. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to lead us. It may not even be the first week or even the first month. There's going to be times when the Holy Spirit will lead you to develop relationships, and he'll lead you to different people. You're going to witness to different people different ways. But it's in order for somebody to hear the gospel and get saved, they've got to hear the gospel. They can't, you know, if it was possible for you to just live a perfect life and a good life, and that was enough for people to get saved, if that was enough preaching of the gospel, Jesus would have been the prime candidate for that. Because Jesus lived a sinless, spotless life. And so if that's all it took, he could have just gone about doing what he was doing and living a good life without opening his mouth and sharing the gospel, and everybody would have got saved. But Jesus, the Bible said, he saw the sheep. He was moved with compassion on them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And then it goes on to say he went about teaching and preaching. Everywhere Jesus went, he went teaching and preaching. So if Jesus found it necessary to teach and preach the gospel and tell people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and telling them the gospel, if it was necessary for Jesus to open his mouth, you know, I think it's necessary for me. And then the Bible goes on to tell us, he says, how will they believe unless they've heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they've been sent? So it doesn't say, how will they hear unless somebody lives the life? And how will they believe unless somebody lives the life? And then how will they... Now, it's important, because if you're saying one thing and living a different way, the Bible says you can bring shame to God. You can do damage by doing that. So if you're living one way and you're living ungodly, and you're not trying to serve God and not trying to allow the grace of God to teach you to deny ungodliness and trying to live for Christ, then maybe it's better that you just don't say anything. But God will use the power that's in our words. Praise God. That same gospel, we planted a church on the border of China and North Korea. And one of the guys that we led to the Lord, and when we had the restaurant outreach, and he'd been studying Korean, and the Lord put North Korea on his heart. And so we moved him and his family to the border of China and North Korea and planted a church on the China side. He wasn't interested in prison ministry, so we planted it on the China side. If he wanted to do prison ministry, we could have helped him plant it on the North Korea side, but he wasn't interested in long-term prison ministry, so... But he was in a restaurant one morning in a noodle shop, and somebody walked up to him, and it wasn't Po from Kung Fu Panda. It wasn't it was a duck or a goose? His goose father? It wasn't, does he have a name, his father? What? Ping? It wasn't Ping, see? It was a North Korean military government official. And he came up to him and he said, I saw you in a dream last night. And so this North Korean military government official was on the North Korean side of the border waiting to pass over the border into China the next morning. And he had a dream and he saw this Chinese guy in his dream. And the next morning he crossed over the border into China and he walked into a noodle restaurant to order noodles. And he saw this guy and he walked up to him and said, I saw you in a dream last night. And the guy could speak Korean and started talking to him and sharing the gospel with him in Korean. And he got saved, and now he's helping us to take the gospel and different literature and through technology into North Korea. And that all started through a natural business of the restaurant that we had when we moved to China. And it's actually funny because I had the Navy College Fund and the GI Bill, and I used two years of that at Bible school. And then I used 2 years of it studying Chinese and Chinese language and culture in China. But I took You know, they paid if they pay you the same amount of money if you study underwater basket weaving or if you study at Harvard. You mean you get the same amount of money. At least when I was in, that's when I was going to school. So if I'd have studied underwater basket weaving, it's funny because I could have used that. I could have taught the girls how to weave baskets. And it's funny because you got to soak these things in water, and they got to be soaking wet. I always thought when people with underwater basket weaving, I thought it was like a scuba diving thing. But you got to have these. This stuff has to be soaked in water in order to get it to bend the way you want it to do it. So there's more to underwater basket weaving than what you think. So I took the money. I was getting about we were getting about $1,600 from the Navy College Fund and the GI Bill, and I put that into opening the restaurant. So God just used little things. I mean, it wasn't $1,600 isn't a lot of money, and it was funny because when I was in high school, I used to compete in cooking contests for 4-H and VICA, which is the Vocational Industrial Clubs of America. I don't know if they even have it anymore, but I would compete in cooking contests, and I had a neighbor that was a chef that taught me how to cook, and just they were just little things. Just God wants to use those little things. You know, I'm going to show the video in just a second. I won't tell the whole testimony, but when I graduated high school, I had the lowest GPA of my graduating class. Now, there were people who had a lower GPA, but they didn't graduate with my class. They might have graduated. We called them super seniors. I don't know if that's what they still call them now, but if somebody didn't, like, I was supposed to graduate in 97, and I graduated on time in 97, but there were some people who had lower GPAs than me, and some of them, the super seniors, they graduated in 98. But I had the lowest GPA of my graduating class. And it's funny, because my best friend had the highest GPA. We were best friends. We'd go to raise food place and get chicken strips and eat lunch together because it was open campus. We'd go eat lunch together every day. And if they were going to do, you know, in the writing in the yearbooks, you know, most likely to succeed, it would have been my friend. And if it had been least likely to succeed, it would have been my picture. But the Bible said that God, he likes to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And so even though I barely graduated, and actually when I was 15 years old, my dad kicked me out of my house, and I ended up moving in with the neighbors who ended up being, who were my pastors. But God was just laying out the way. But he does things like that because he gets the glory for it. And so you'd say, well, you know, how could I do an exploit for God? I don't have a degree, or maybe you say, I've got a degree, but I can't find a job, or maybe you got a degree and you've been working in the same career for the last 20 years and been successful in your career, or the last 30 years, but you haven't done anything for God. You haven't done any great exploits for God. So that's where I would say, go to God and say, God, use me for your glory. God, I want to do something. I want to be, you know, the Bible says that if we're hearers of the word and not doers, that we deceive ourselves. And so we can be deceived. You can be deceived in one area and not in another. So if maybe you're giving and being obedient to the word of God concerning giving of finances, and you're given here at this church and given as the Lord leads you, and you're being obedient and giving, and so you're not deceived in the area of giving and receiving. And maybe you're, you know, raising your family the way you're supposed to, and you're not deceived in that area, but maybe you're not sharing the gospel with anybody. So you're deceived in that area, because I know you've heard that you're supposed to share the gospel at this church. I mean, this is good news church, for heaven's sake. I mean, if you haven't heard that you're supposed to share the gospel at this church, then you probably have been sleeping during service. They have a whole program in case you slept through it. And you just happen to be awake right now. They got a whole program to teach you how to share the gospel. But, or maybe you have just been living a really mediocre life, and you've been living a good life, you know, living the American dream. And things are going real well for you, and you've been, you know, you're working and being, it's honorable to have a job and work, but you haven't been doing any exploits, and you haven't been believing God for any exploits, and you haven't been believing anything, you're not believing God for anything bigger, anything big. then maybe you're deceived in this area, or maybe you've never heard this scripture before. Those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Praise God. Just let's take a second just to pray and just come before your Father and ask Him, say, God, is there something more you have for me? Say, God, I want to be used by you like never before. Say, God, I want to do some exploits for you, for your kingdom. I want to help set people free. I want to help lead people to Christ. I want to do things for your kingdom. Maybe you're a businessman and God wants to do something great through you and just bless your business so that you can financially promote the gospel. Or whatever it might be, come to God tonight and say, God, use me like never before. Father, help me to glorify you through my life and through my family. God, I want to know you so that I can be strong and do exploits. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to run this video real quick, and it'll take a couple minutes, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Nate. But just share some of the things that God's been doing through our ministry in China, and you guys have a part in that. If this is your church and your church family, and you've been praying and sowing and giving and faithful here, this is a picture of 55 Burmese refugee orphans. Their parents were killed by the Burmese government, and we've taken that orphanage, that refugee camp over, and we're blessing those children. This is the ATV that you guys bought. It's got a little bed on the back where they can carry stuff, and it's got can climb up in the mountains. They're going up in the mountains where they never heard the gospel, never heard the name of Jesus, and these pastors are sharing the gospel and ministering and reaching villages for Christ. Praise God. We do animal loans, micro animal loans. We do a lot of goats because goat meat is really valuable in China. We go into leper villages. There's 129 leper villages in China, in the province we live and work out of, with over 1,000 lepers. And we go into these leper villages and share the gospel and love on these people and give them food and help them get surgeries and get them prosthetics. And we build shower buildings so they can take showers and bring in rice. And you can see they've lost their fingers and toes and hands and feet. These are some more pictures of the Burmese refugee orphans. The little kids that, like I said, their parents were killed by the Burmese government. It's called Myanmar now. There's a few different ways to pronounce it, but Burma is what it was called for years and years when I was a kid. But we buy 900 pounds of rice for them every month and are buying food for them. And we've hired teachers to teach these kids to read and write because they couldn't read and write, and hired teachers to teach them. And they're learning the Word of God and they're worshiping God. God's blessing these kids. They lost their parents, but God is restoring and redeeming their lives. And Good News Church has a part in that, praise God. And you can see that here they are studying, learning. Beautiful, beautiful little babies, beautiful little kids. Praise God. But you guys are impacting together, you and I, we're impacting these Burmese children. They're actually from the tribe, they're called Karen. They're the Karen people. This is them singing and worshiping. If it'll... If you're a musician, I always joke, I said, these kids clap on 1, 2, 3, and 4. They have it all down, you know. They. God has great plans for these kids. He's got plans for their future. And in Jeremiah there talks about Jeremiah 29:11, that he has a plan and a future, a hope, an expected end. Just like he does for you and I, but also for these kids. So as you think about these kids, is pray for them. Lift them up, because they were dealt a bad hand in life, but God is redeeming their lives. Praise God. And you guys have a part in that. Hallelujah. This is the couple that we work together with. That we're teaching the girls how to make these hand-woven coasters. These are pictures of them making the coasters, and they're selling those in China and selling them here in America, and they're being able to provide a living for themselves, and they're making bracelets like this one here, selling those in China and in America now. And we've set them up this last year. That's my son Joshua and my daughter Rachel. We're setting them up this year to sell coffee and tea. So we're giving them jobs and trades and helping them to be able to take care of themselves so that they don't end up selling themselves back into prostitution. This is just a video of the it's a night market street. So this is like 11 o'clock at night or something. And everybody's out, they're buying fruit and food and vegetables and eating on the street food. And I always tell people, we run into people that are really, they hate double dipping. Is anybody really against double dipping? Okay, if you're not, anybody is against triple dipping. So I tell you, if you don't like double and triple dipping, China's not for you, because they do a lot of using the same chopsticks to pass food around and eat off the same plate and put food on your plate with their chopsticks that they had in their mouth. And I tell them, there's no sneeze guards on there, food there. So you hope the guy turned his head when he sneezed. But, you know, if you're a germophobic, then maybe China's not for you. So God will give you grace to be here and share the gospel at the buffet here in town where they have the sneeze guards. Praise God. But you can see just a street in the middle of the night, and it's just full of people. And we run into people every day that have never heard the gospel, never heard the name of Jesus. That we live in a small city and work out of a small city of about 7 million. And that's small for China, because Shanghai is like, I think, 24 million. And I think Beijing is maybe 21 million, something like that. You can look it up. You can Google it. But you can just see, this is like 11 o'clock at night, and there's just people everywhere. You can't even drive down this street. The cars are just stuck in the street because there's just traffic everywhere. But that's all I have. Just encourage you to ask God and ask God to give you an exploit to reach people in your community, to reach people here in Georgia, here in America. Raise your expectation. Start speaking and praying and believing and stretching your faith and asking God to expand your tent, asking Him to use you in a way that's something greater than just the American dream, but an exploit that God, because the American dream's great. I mean, God's blessed America. I mean, there's opportunity. It's the land of opportunity, the land of freedom. I mean, we have freedoms here. We've actually, the churches that we've planted in China this last year, because of persecution, they came out with like 75 new laws in February of this year that govern the Christians in China. New persecution, new regulations for Christians. And because of that, we actually took all the chairs out of all of the house churches, and the people got to bring the chairs with them. So, you know, in America, people complain because their chair's not soft enough. No, not this church, because you all got soft chairs, but, and you wouldn't complain either. It's the people in the other church down the street, you know. It's either the church in California, I can say that because I was born in California, or it's one of those churches up in the north, you know, maybe up in like Maine or something, where they like the soft, you know, snuggly churches. But God, go to God and say, God, I want to do something greater than just the American dream. I want to bring you glory and do an exploit for you that will change the lives of people in my community and my influence in my life for your glory. Amen. Praise God.